Hello, hello, and welcome to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every single episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Jenny Hill.
And I'm Dan Hill.
Let's get this started.
Hope you all had a fantastic Memorial Day. It's season 3, episode 8, Love Reeks. Air date Halloween, October 31st, 1994, and they missed a grand opportunity.
Agreed. I mean, I've got to say, okay, this episode was entertaining. I am happy with what happened in it.
Yes.
But we are the two biggest fans of Halloween that could ever exist.
Come on, man. Not even a mask.
No costumes. Not even a jack-o'-lantern.
All I want is for someone to, like, pull off their mask and, like, kiss somebody and then pull it all the way off. And it's, like, someone they didn't think it was. Or, like, Bob for apples.
They done messed up.
Come on.
The only thing we got was like a weird straw broom on Jane's door.
Pathetic.
That's the only thing to indicate that it was like harvest, November, October time.
Yeah. And the only thing like party-ish was Allison getting tanked at Shooters.
Well, let's delve in, shall we?
Sydney is distressed.
Yes, we have a cold open where Sydney knocks it on Jake's door, and she's there to report the attack that Chris had waged against her at Shooters.
Yeah, so is this the same night?
Yeah, I think so.
She's just getting home to Melrose, and she bangs on Jake's door and is just like, he did it to me. He tried to do it to me at Shooters.
Now, Jake is like any normal person would do, is like, let's call the police. Let's get you to a hospital.
He's like, how bad did he hurt you?
And Sydney's not going for this. She's like, look, nobody's going to believe me. I'm an ex-whore three weeks out of the loony bin. Who's going to believe a word I say?
And he's like, well, you got to fight back, Sid. It sounds, you're acting like you deserved it.
And we're going to make them believe you. But yeah. Sydney's ashamed and she asks, can I just stay on your couch to kind of get things straightened out? And he agrees.
And this is the Jake that Dan Hill knows and loves. This is Super Jake. He's back, ladies and gentlemen. Jake puts her on the couch and he's like, I'm going to be right back. You know why? Because I'm about to beat the shit out of Chris Marchette.
So the first move he makes is right over to Jane's door. He's banging. He's yelling.
Jane, I know you're in there.
Where's your little boyfriend, Chris? Now this prompts Amanda to wake up because this is presumably the middle of the night. And she informs Jake that both Jane and Chris have gone to Vegas. Right. They left about an hour ago.
And yeah, she's like, Jake, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, go back to bed, Amanda. It doesn't concern you.
So he goes back into his apartment where he then consoles Sydney again. Well,
She's already sleeping.
At this point, she's laying down. She's sleeping. And I think she's sleeping. I think this is in her sleep. She's just muttering over and over again, nobody will believe me. Nobody will believe me. And then Jake takes her and like pats her on the shoulder. And like he says, Sydney, I believe you. Even though she's asleep. And he's going to do something about it.
I believe you, Sydney. And I'm going to do something about it.
And then we get the credits.
And Jenny, you finally met somebody who falls asleep quicker than me.
It's Sydney.
It's Sydney Andrews.
Usually it takes Dan about 37 seconds to go from just laying in bed to sleeping, and it takes me about 45 minutes. So I'm always so jealous of people that can just lay down in a bed and be asleep immediately.
That's because I'm so high energy during the day.
Yeah, I just can't turn off my brain.
My wheels are turning. So we get the opening credits, and we're left with the question, like, well, it's not even a question. It's only a matter of time. When Jake says that he is going to make something right, God damn it, he does it.
He does.
So he's like, he's on a mission, and his sights are set on Chris Marchette.
Oh, you're a little rhyming fiend.
And we have, so the opening credits, we've got, you know, we're back to the pool cleaner. These doves are flying out. They should be crows.
So we see the exterior of Melrose Place, and they're reusing these shots.
Yeah, I remember these fuckers.
We've seen these three people walking in front of Melrose Place.
I've seen these nerds
before,
once or twice.
Same outfits. And then we go right to the interior of the courtyard where mullet guy's cleaning the pool. Dan, I think we've seen this dove before.
We've seen the doves? It was like three of them.
I think we have.
You know it should be crows.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're circling around the death.
And the lyrics of the royalty-free music? No one knows how the story goes. Till the end, we just pretend. Sometimes chameleons never change.
Anybody knows the original song, let us know. But I know that, Dan, you take a lot of time and effort in recording the lyrics of all of these songs.
Who wrote this? Shakespeare?
And honestly.
Because that's deep.
It is deep.
Sometimes chameleons never change.
So we go back into Jake's apartment. It's the next day, and Sydney's apologizing to him, saying that she's so sorry that she's dragged him into the mess of her life. And she learns from him that he and Jane are in Vegas. And you see Sydney's brain is kind of going, and he's like, well, I've got to go into Shooters. I got to open the place up, see you for the dinner rush. And she's like, yeah, I'll be there.
And Sydney her wheels are turning. She's like, oh, God damn it. That son of a bitch is doing it. He's going to marry Jane.
Well, she doesn't necessarily say it in the scene.
And she does.
Does she?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. She's like, oh, my God, he's going to do it.
Well,
and then he's like, well, that's none of my business.
Oh, no, you're right. And yeah. I've got to, like, and
like,
I.
What is Jake's business?
And the one thing I've got to ask, too, is just because they're going to Vegas and that Chris did say, I've decided I'm going to marry Jane, how does that mean they're getting married that day in Vegas?
Sydney just knows
that
how.
Sister's intuition.
She knows how crazy dudes work. And when they say they're going to do something, they do it the next day.
Yeah, I guess so.
So Jake, the gentleman that he is, he's like, I gotta go. I'm gonna go open up lunch. You drink your coffee.
I'll see you for the dinner.
I'll see you for dinner. And he says, when Chris gets back from Vegas, I'll straighten his ass out.
Yeah.
Woo! Can't wait.
Now, meanwhile, Billy is knocking on Allison's door, and her new roommate, Susan, comes to answer.
New haircut alert for Billy.
Yeah, Billy's hair is looking. That is what I was wondering. Last episode,
it was shiny.
It was really curly and shiny, and I was like, did he get a perm? What's happening with him?
He's slicking it up.
And now it looks a little like the Billy we have known before.
He's so shiny. Shout out to Moana.
Probably not going
to
get that reference.
yeah, he's
if you don't
shiny.
Have a kid, you won't know that.
He's shining. He knocks on Allison's door, and Susan opens, and she plays like little young damsel, and she's like, oh, you just missed Allison. I can take a message for her. And then Billy does this. When he's trying to be like sweet or romantic, his voice gets like really soft. And like, he's like, I'm not here to see her. And he does that shit all the time. Like he did that with Amanda when he was like, I'm gonna take care of you.
Ew. Well, speaking
of... No, and then he's like, I think I'll stay here.
Speaking of Amanda, she walks by during this exchange and she lets Susan know, hey, if you're planning on staying here, Susan, I'm going to need to put your name on the lease. Susan says it's just temporary and she's visiting.
Yeah.
And then Amanda's like, oh, that's too bad. We're really getting to like seeing you around here.
Yeah. What's that mean?
I don't know. Billy leaves Susan, and then he and Amanda have a conversation.
Well,
and
Susan's got a job interview.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so Susan is explaining to Billy that today is, like, not really good for her. She's got a job interview she's getting prepared for, and Billy, like, asks her where it's at, and she tells him, I think it's in, like...
At Chasen's.
Chasen's. Oh, okay.
Chasen's.
Not to be confused with Chaz's.
Or Jason's. It's C-H-A-S-E-N-S.
Chasen's.
Jason's.
So she's going to go to that, and Billy's like, well, let's hang out. And she's basically like, nah, I'm good.
And on the way out, Billy and Amanda are walking out of the complex together, and she's like, whoa, that girl was flirting like crazy with you. Gonna do anything about it?
And he's like, nah, it's kind of complicated.
And how did Amanda get that from that like 1 second exchange?
Because Amanda doesn't understand human interaction, so she just says shit.
Oh, like, she sees like,
two people talking, and she's like, she likes you. She is your friend, isn't she? Would you like to have sex with her? Like, she's just a robot. She's like throwing fucking darts in the blind, in the dark.
Okay, well, next up we go to D&D, and...
Well, he says it's complicated, and she says, that never stopped you before.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they're all like little fucking like buddies now. Like, it's weird. It's very strange.
Very incestuous. So next scene is D&D, where there is a delivery, and it turns out it's for Amanda. Now, why is she getting flowers delivered to like the bullpen office instead of her office?
They're in the middle of a team meeting.
It seems weird that they're coming there, but
wherever you are, and if flowers arrive,
that's where you're getting them.
They come straight to you.
They like know exactly. They have like a tracking device on you, so they can say,
"Yeah,
she's there."
Bring them to her immediately, because it might be. I mean, fuck these flowers. I need whore flowers.
Like whore flowers. No, nobody's gonna top those.
No,
but.
They're all right. These flowers are all right.
They're pretty.
There's a lot of baby's breath in there. There's probably like 6 roses and like 19 baby's breaths. Like, Pete, I know you're trying to squeeze a dime here, but like, you better come with a dozen roses and a little bit of baby's breath. Not a whole thing of baby's breath and like 6 roses. Bro, so, we get what you're doing.
Everybody in the office is very abuzz about who are these flowers from, including Allison.
Yeah. What? Anytime flower and what's her name did this too?
Amanda.
No, the other the woman boss, Nancy.
Yeah. Or Lucy.
Lucy. Yeah, Lucy, when flowers showed up, I think she was in a tussle with people too. And just like when they show up, everything goes away, and everyone turns into like, oh my gosh, this is great.
Gushy. So it turns out the flowers are from Peter, and
he'd love to see her again.
Amanda is kind of like, I don't know. He moves really fast. And Allison is like, Amanda, you have to go out with him. He sent you flowers after all.
These are the rules where Allison is from. You get flowers. You better do what they ask you to.
They what?
Unless they're whore flowers.
And then Allison says, if you're still pining after Jake, that ship has sailed. So it kind of like a backhanded dig at Amanda, and she kind of takes it that way. we learn that one of the accounts is having some issues that Billy and Allison are working on. And another thing I found kind of entertaining is that they're paired up to work on all of the accounts together.
Every single one.
It's like, what was Allison doing before Billy got there? Like, Billy was hired to be like her partner in crime.
Yeah, they're equals.
They're always working together. So they have this account. They've got to work on it. And Allison says, Billy, let's work through lunch. We really have to figure this out. And he says, no, I have plans.
I got plans.
Well, you know what his plans are?
To go stalk the shit out of Susan.
What is up with that? He blows off a work engagement to go sit outside of the restaurant Chasen's just to like see how Susan's doing on her interview.
Yeah, and then so he pulls up to Chasen's and Susan like runs like a duck. she waddles up to him like
there's something about Susan's face that like reminds me of a jungle cat.
I hate her.
There's like, I can't even explain it. She looks like an animal to me.
She's a very long neck.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
It's a long, it's like giraffe-like.
But like, it's kind of the same size as her head, though.
Yeah.
It's like her head morphs into her neck, kind of.
Yeah. And then you said she has the same haircut as Billy. But
they're very similar.
But hers is more, it's more grown out on the sides.
Billy, and Billy is like a little tucked back behind the ears.
He puts product in his. So he rolls up on her and he's like, hey, do you want to go to lunch? She's like, Billy, come on, man.
What are you doing here? And he's like, come on, let me take you out somewhere. Let's celebrate. How did everything go?
Like, let me get... You know, you gotta give us a chance before you say no.
So he proposes that they go to a place that has chili you're gonna taste for days.
No thanks.
How is that a positive?
I don't want to go there.
Do you want to go to a place where you'll be tasting their chili for days?
No.
That just reminds me of like you're gonna be vomiting it up for
absolutely
days.
Absolutely not.
Tasting it twice.
I hate it when I burp, like, and it tastes like it. Just once. How do I want to do that for days? No.
So, somehow, this works on Susan, and she agrees to go to lunch with Billy, and she jumps in his car, and off they go. Dan, one thing I have to bring up is, did you notice when Susan got into Billy's car... She got in the driver's side and then, like, scooched over to the passenger side.
Who does that?
What? And, okay, so Billy opens the driver's side door and she's like, get in.
It's and, like scooches her
if
in.
If somebody did that to me, like, if I was going to get in somebody's car and they opened the driver's side door, I'd be like, you want me to drive?
It's a combination of things, I think. It's laziness on Billy's side. Because he just opens his door and is like, hop in. And then it's weird on her side to just go do it.
To like get the hint. And maybe, should they be together? Because
he freaks in a pod.
They like, got it. Or is his passenger side door broken? I don't know.
Maybe.
It was just really weird.
Billy's been known for janky ass vehicles, so maybe. So now we head over to D&D. Dr. Burns hasn't heard from Amanda, so he puts a call in. It gets transferred to Amanda. She picks it up. She tells him the flowers are beautiful, but excessive.
Right. She also adds that you'll find that I don't like being bulldozed, Dr. Burns.
Yeah, she tries to blow him off, and she's just not really anxious to jump back into the fire.
Right, because he makes it you recently burned. Yes, not really willing to jump back into the fire yet.
But I'm assuming she's talking about Jake, and Jake did not burn her.
You're just very, you're protective of Jake. So anytime anybody says anything negative about him, you're like, hey, he was not in the wrong.
Well, let's define burned then. like, is burned just broken up? Because yes, then he burned her. But I take burned to mean like he left her for someone else and didn't say anything.
I mean,
or like
he,
they were going to get married and he like left in the middle of the night and cheated on her.
He
like,
hurt her.
Like that's getting burned.
He hurt. By him breaking up with him, her, she was hurt.
She was hurt, yeah. But then his dad died on her, on him. His boat blew up. They were completely broken
okay,
up.
Okay, well, that was...
He was like, he sat her down. He had a conversation with her about why they should break up and that he just doesn't want to be in a relationship. And she was like, all right, but not going to be waiting here for you. And he said, sounds good. Burned.
Okay, well,
really burned.
A breakup
there,
can
Amanda.
Be painful, even if there wasn't any kind of vindictive, like, kinds of things going on. So I get what she's saying, but Peter is really after her. He says that he thinks that she's smart and he's really taken by her, and that he has box seats to the Hollywood Bowl to see a Mozart concert.
Yes, Amanda, I have box seats. So Hollywood Bowl Mozart tickets.
Why don't you invite a couple of your friends and we can all go watch together?
Right. Yes, I would very much appreciate that.
Then he ends by saying, and Amanda, you won't regret it.
Yeah, like this is a
that
tryout.
That is like, that is such a freaking weird thing to say.
It's like, I'm gonna try out for your love.
Like, you're not going to regret this.
It's very weird.
It's like, that would cause me to pause and be like, oh shit, am I going to regret this? Like, why even say that?
Well, yeah, now that you put it in my head. So we go over to Kimberly and Michael in the locker room of the hospital. And my note here was, I miss Kimberly. I miss her antics. I miss the crow.
Like the crazy Kimberly or the Kimberly before the accident?
I miss Kimberly with fucking supernatural powers, like hanging out in thunderstorms.
They're done. She's that Kimberly is completely gone.
I miss her.
And it's like a hybrid now of like the kind of like quirky, like whimsical Kimberly that we knew pre-accident melded in with like this conniving... Like, I'm a, like,
she's a little sidekick
now. Yeah. That's exactly what she is. She's a sidekick.
I miss grab you by the arm and, like, tell you, like, stay out of my way.
And having, like, pains in your head where she'll just start being, like,
yeah.
out of nowhere, like,
yeah, like where'd the headaches go?
Yeah.
Where's the headaches?
Are those cured now?
Yeah, where's the wigs?
Anyway... Kimberly's telling Michael, I know it's perverse, but maybe Dr. Burns is who he says he is. Maybe he is just trying to make this hospital a better place.
And he's like, no, bullshit. We're going to find what's up with this asshole and we're going to nail him.
Michael thinks everybody has an angle and they've just got to figure out what it is and take advantage of him.
Sydney somehow again and again gets past hospital security and strolls into the employees only break room of the doctors.
Yeah.
And she's like, hi guys, got a little update here.
It's like she's an employee herself. And she's like, gotta tell you what kind of a creep you're in business with.
And they're both like, oh God, Sydney, buzz off.
Now, this is the beginning of a lot of hilarious Australian slurs, shall I say?
Michael grabs her and like physically turns her around and he's like, make it easy on all of us, turn around and leave.
And I can't remember if Michael or Sydney calls Chris the down under dipwad. So there are many little like digs against Chris for being Australian that are coming up.
Is this where he calls him kangaroo boy?
No, that's coming up. So he calls him the down under dipwad. And that's when Sydney says, well, just thought you should know he and Jane are getting married in Vegas this weekend. And just want you to know who you're going to be in business with.
And Kimberly's just like, okay, whatever. And Michael's like, you know what, Kimberly? I got to stop this right now.
Now, Kimberly is wise to this, and she's like, why do I feel like this isn't about the business venture as much as it is Jane is getting married to this guy?
And here's the question, the big question. They're at work. They just put on their lab coats. And then Michael's like, I'm leaving. And then Kimberly's like, well, I'm going too.
Like, if you think I'm going to let you be alone in Vegas with Jane? No way, baby. So, I'm going with you.
So them being on-call doctors and all, and their flexible schedules, they just peace out.
And that's the other thing I got to ask, too. I brought this up before. Sydney has no proof that they're actually going to get married. This is just a hunch she has. And she's just telling everybody willy-nilly that they're getting married in Vegas.
Yeah. So we're going to Vegas. And I was real stoked. I love it when shows, like, go somewhere.
Go on location. Somewhere new.
Like Full House when they went to Disneyland. And then, they went to Disney World. Or other shows where they go other places. I like it when that
happens.
Takes
you out of the norm. Gotcha. Yeah.
Or like when Saved by the Bell, they left. It was summer, and they all worked at the beach club. That was fun.
And that's where they met Leah Remini's character.
That's right. Stacey Carosi.
Okay. But in the world of Melrose Place, Jane and Chris are enjoying their time in Vegas. They've been shopping and eating and more shopping. And Jane can't help but notice that everybody in Vegas seems to know Chris. He's greeted everywhere, and they've put him up in a crazy suite.
And you never want to hear this from like someone you're with. Are you sure you can afford all of this?
Well, he's been wining and dining her, getting her presents, and just showing her a crazy awesome time.
Yeah, so they got shopping bags. They pull up on the suite that Chris got. They're in Caesars.
Oh, I was going to ask.
Yeah. They do an exterior shot of like the Caesars sign.
And Caesars is where you went for your bachelor party.
That's right. It's my favorite casino. Love that place. Holla at your boy.
Did the suite look familiar?
No. My suite was doper.
You think?
Of course.
Well, I did get you the Frank Sinatra suite.
What up?
Yeah, baby.
It was a good time. It's sad what happened to that stripper, though. Anywho.
Oh, shut up. So
they're in Vegas, and I did see in their suite they had a dope, like, baby angel light fixture.
Like a cherub.
Yeah. And
you think that's dope?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Thought that was stylish. And it fits with Jane because she has all those like angel babies paintings in her
she
apartment.
Does, yeah.
But the interesting thing here is that Chris says that he's been thinking about Jane all the time. And he turns around, very strange blocking, and he proposes standing up.
That really gets you.
Really gets me. Like, if you're going to propose, you, like, getting on the knee is sort of an exposure of yourself. You know? It is like the proposition of your life. You know? So it's like a devotion. So you shouldn't be, like, at eye level. You know?
Like, you think you should be looking up at your partner like, I am submitting to you and like just asking you this very hallowed and crazy question.
Absolutely. Not like, yeah, you should definitely do that. And maybe not down under. Maybe they don't do it down there. But this is why you could tell that this is going to be bad. Because you didn't propose right, asshole.
You think that's
Did he
like
even
a
have a ring?
No.
He didn't even have a ring.
He didn't even. And he's like, Jane, I've been wanting to ask you this all day. Marry me. We can be married tomorrow.
We can be married tomorrow, Jane.
You do it so much better than me.
Hey, I don't have a ring or anything. or manners. So marry me.
And Jane's all about it.
I don't get
She's like, oh, yes, Chris, of course I'll marry you.
I didn't like Chris from the start, but I really don't like him now.
Yeah, he's a slime ball.
He's the worst.
So they have reservations at Spago that evening. So,
and they haven't had sex.
Yeah, that's another thing.
I'm fucking sorry, guys. But you got to sample the goods.
You're a traditional in one sense where you have to get on your knee to ask for someone's hand in marriage. But you're like premarital sex all the way.
Just, you got to know you're sexually compatible, man.
I'm with you on that. I think marrying somebody without having sex with them is very risky.
What if he has a micro penis? She hasn't even seen it. At least see it.
You don't know what you're going to get.
At least see it. And for Chris, too. At least see what you're going to be working with.
Well.
Forever.
In the world of Melrose Place, though, marriages really don't last the test of time.
I mean, yeah, but it's Melrose Place. I would expect them to have done it. At least, gosh, Jane and Michael used to bang like every scene. Remember for a time we were like, all they are is in bed.
Yeah,
Jane true. And Michael. We never fucking saw them out of bed.
Yeah.
So, and that comes to play later, but.
So Jane is excited. She's happy. She wants to take a shower before they go out to dinner. So Chris says, great, I'm going to go into the casino. You've got to do it.
Great. While you're taking a shower, I'm going to go down to the casino. And the minimum bet is $100.
Yeah. So downstairs. He goes down to the casino and he like rocks up to this table and everybody's like, oh, Mr. Machete, how are you?
And what does he call it? He's like, I need, it's like a, he had a word.
You want
for
a marker?
It. Yeah. I need a marker.
And they're like,
it's 20 G's.
He's like, I'd like to place a $20,000 bet. And then the table manager, like, it's like a guy.
Like the pit boss.
Yeah, he's like, he makes a quick phone call and he's like, well, Mr. Marchetta, records have you down $50,000. And that's when Chris says, you'll get everything back and more. And that leads us to believe that he has quite a checkered past in Vegas.
Yeah. Maybe 50 that's,
G's down?
Maybe that's where all the whores of a lifetime came from. It's 50 grand in whores.
Right.
So now he's got a gambling problem. They're introducing this immediately, and they're right. not beating around the bush.
Right. Like, he has some problems.
So he's in the hole, 50 G's, and let's head off to D&D, where Amanda needs to ask a favor of Billy. Well, she is setting up this double date that Peter has asked her to go on.
Now, before she does that, we have a quick exchange with Allison where she tells Allison that she's very thankful for the advice that she had given her about dating Peter. And she even makes sure to say, aside from the dig about Jake, you acted like a real friend. Because you'll remember she said, if you're still holding on hope that something's going to happen with Jake, that ship has sailed.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that's when she says, oh, and Billy, do me a favor. And then that's when Billy says, Amanda, why is it that whenever I do a favor for you, I end up with my butt in a vice? That was his wording.
I end up with my butt in a vice.
So that's when we learned that Amanda wants Billy to bring Susan along for a double date at the Hollywood Bowl with Peter. Mm-hmm. And she tries to act all innocent, like, bring, oh, what's her name? Yeah, Susan, you know, Allison's like best friend that's living with her.
That's now her roommate that I want on the lease. Yeah, bring her.
And then Billy's kind of like, well, I don't know, Amanda. Maybe I should talk. I don't think that's a great idea. And then Amanda says, let me give you some advice that someone just gave to me. If you're holding, if you're pining for Allison and holding out hope that you're going to get together with her, that ship has sailed.
Mm.
Oh!
Damn.
What a bitch.
She's using, and there's another example of Asperger's.
How?
All right, she's on the spectrum for sure because she cannot formulate her own language. She just samples. She samples things that she's heard from around her friends and other things. Like I have an autistic friend.
I know.
And he was great at playing with wrestling, like with wrestling figures and stuff, because he watched so much wrestling. So he knew how to like commentate wrestling. So he would do it like word for word. And I'd be like, oh my God, I love playing fucking wrestling with this kid. Because like he's awesome at it. Just well, like the play by play. He knew it.
Don't you think that was just a conniving, low-down, mean thing to do to somebody, though? I think there was intent behind it rather than
she
just
does,
parroting it back to someone, like just copycatting it.
I don't think it was ill. It was mean at all.
I absolutely do.
Amanda just does not understand when she's mean or not.
She just said to Allison, aside from the dig about Jake, you were a real friend.
And then her next, that's weird. It's like,
her
what?
Next move is to use the same language that Allison used to her to hurt Allison.
Well, she probably
just said,
I think
it's very calculated.
She probably heard someone else say dig and just said something dig
okay.
with Jake. Let's go back to Vegas. Kimberly. We're going back to Vegas. Kimberly and Michael have arrived, and they're at, like, not the front desk.
They're at the concierge desk, baby.
They're at the concierge's desk, and they want Chris and Jane's room number, and the concierge is not giving it up.
And you guys will remember all of the other hotels where a character came in, and they're like, I need this person's room number. They're usually
sure, right away.
Giving it to them.
Yeah.
They like show up at their door. They know exactly where they are, but not at Caesars, guys.
Mm-mm.
Nope. They've got some actual policies that do not allow their employees to give out guest information.
And Michael is pissed. He's like, all right, asshole. I'm trying to find my friends. You won't give me the room number. What is your problem, man?
And he says, well, look, here's the thing. My fiance here, motioning over to Kimberly, we're wanting to get married tonight. And these two are our friends and we want them to come and witness it. But you know what? I guess because you aren't going to tell us where they're staying, they're going to have to miss it. So do me one favor, pal, okay? Just tell me, where would you recommend someone to get married if they were staying here at the hotel?
And he pulls out some money to bribe him with.
A crisp little $20 bill. He's holding it out. And as soon as the concierge gives up the name of the chapel that they usually refer their guests to, Michael swiftly takes it back like, too slow, yeah. Sucker.
He's like, I don't think so. And he takes the money back. And Kimberly's just there to be like, yeah.
Yeah, like his little evil sidekick, just like you said.
And she's got this low-cut dress. It's not flattering.
Oh, guys, it's like...
She got to eat something, man.
I just hate that look when you can see the ribs. You see the rib cage. It just is not... It just looks... It makes me feel icky. It's like a baby bird.
Yeah, it looks scary.
Ugh.
Looks scary.
And, you know, I think that Marsha Cross is gorgeous.
Stunning.
But this is not a good... I'm not digging this look either.
Dress is not for her.
So we're now back to D&D, where Joe is paying Amanda a visit. Now, Joe is visibly pregnant. She's getting up there. And if you'll remember in last episode, she did say that she's had some issues with people hiring her. So she's coming to Amanda to just see if there's any work, anything that she can do, because she really needs the money. And then Amanda looks at her and says, work for you? Not in your condition. I just don't think that's a good idea.
Well, and that's because Joe was saying, I'll work nights, early mornings, anything you got. And Amanda didn't think that that's a good good idea for
yeah.
her.
And it's like, number one, how is that your business? And then thankfully, Joe fires back and says, Amanda, it is against the law for you to discriminate against me due to my pregnancy. And then Amanda just tries to save face and says, well, I was just saying that out of friendly concern. Right. No, you weren't.
No,
you're
a
freaking jerk.
Yeah.
You're just saying that because you're a bitch and that's what you thought. And like, this poor Joe is struggling. She needs help. And then Amanda also has the gall to say, well, I would float you alone, Joe, but it's really against my policy.
Yeah. My policy as a human being.
Okay.
Do we leave him there? Now, Billy is meeting Susan in secret to try to ask Susan out on this double date.
And Susan, in the beginning, is like, Billy, why are we sneaking around? I don't like this. Why did we have to meet somewhere in order to talk? Why couldn't we just talk at the apartment complex?
And he's like, because I don't want Allison just butting in. Now, come on and just go with me. Susan again says no. Billy's like, come on, just give us a chance. Why, like, let's go on a date. Let's go on a couple dates. How will we know if we're meant to be or not meant to be if we don't try?
Right. And he convinces her to think, well, if we go on a couple of dates and there's nothing there, Allison never has to know.
Right.
If we do go on a couple dates and we find that we really like each other, then of course we're going to tell her. But why tell her now and get her all upset when we don't have to?
Right. And so she agrees, and immediately, Billy plants a kiss on her. And then it's like, oh, we liked that. And then they kiss again.
Yeah, and then Susan's like, okay, I'll go to the concert with you tomorrow. But then she says, well, I guess I have to go to the store because I have to keep up my alibi. So now they have this like little secret romance going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to go to the concert the next evening.
And this sort of thing isn't fair because, of course, this sort of like sneaking around and like being covert, it's fun.
For so the two people in the relationship.
Yeah, so it adds to the allure. Like, do you really like Billy or do you enjoy
like the mystery and yeah. like the secrecy and trying yeah. to like
it sort of heightens the senses, the love senses.
Sure.
And I don't think it's fair to judge the relationship based on the sneaky.
No, that's a great point.
You know? And my other thing is, where's the girl that Amanda fired from D&D? Like, just because she got fired, I'm assuming she lives in Los Angeles.
Doesn't mean that she's dead to Billy now.
Yeah.
That's another great point.
Billy was into her, and she's just gone because she doesn't have a job. Because
she doesn't work at the same place as you?
Yeah, who gives a shit?
That's weird.
And I wouldn't even bring it up, because obviously I understand, like, yeah, she was a bit part for a couple of minutes just to like throw a wrench into things. But Billy's dialogue even says she's Allison like 2 years ago. And that means like he was digging her.
Like, yeah, you'd think that he would really pursue that yeah, other girl.
It wouldn't matter what work she did.
Great points. And I think it just goes to show you that Billy's a jerk.
He's a dick. He only likes convenience shit. He's like, oh, well, Allison, my ex-fiance, has a new woman there, so I'm going to date her
now.
Do
they live by me or do they work by me? Because it's got to be one or the other.
One or the other, man.
So
lazy.
The next scene, we are back in Vegas, and it's the big day, guys.
And this wedding sucks.
Jane and Chris are getting married.
Chris Marchette, you cheap fucker.
First off, they're at the Silver Bell Wedding Chapel. Not the best place.
Mm-mm.
I actually just had the awesome opportunity to go to Vegas and do a tour of a couple of different wedding chapels because I'm in like the wedding industry. And there are some freaking awesome wedding chapels in and around Vegas that you can get married in.
I would renew my vows in
Vegas. I wanted, there's this one, and Dan, we are going to renew our vows there. You can have Elvis drive you in into the chapel in like a convertible. What? And they do, you do like a concert, man, with them.
You picked our where our first wedding was. So I'm doing the...
You help me.
I'm doing the renews.
Okay. Anyway, this place sucks in comparison. Like,
it's so bad.
What is going on?
You got Martha Washington on the organ.
The keyboards.
Yeah.
And she just puts in a cassette tape and it's like the weirdest like and elevator music I've ever heard.
And it's not like a licensed cassette tape. This is like recorded off the radio cassette tape. It's like it's clear.
It's like it's like the girl from so Ipanema, bad. But like way off, like awful.
And Jane's like, this is the wedding I always wanted. Like, what? Are you fucking out of your mind? But so, it immediately gets interrupted.
Yeah. So they're like there. They are at the point where the officiant is like, who signs these two? Like, speak now or forever hold your peace. And just in the nick of time, that is when Kimberly and Michael show up.
We got something to say about this. And yeah, the dynamic duo of Michael and Kimberly, they storm in. Chris Marchette is like, is this a joke? And Michael says, no joke, kangaroo boy. We're here to put an end to this charade.
So they explain that the welfare of their company is their business and they have every right to be there, and that Michael knows what's up. He knows that Chris is just trying to get more leverage out of their little enterprise. And he's like, you know what? You keep your hands out of Jane's wallet. Do whatever you want with the rest of her.
My note here is that Michael is my best friend.
Yeah.
I love him. Jenny, you always say, like, I can be the life of the party or I can, like, totally shut it down.
Yeah, be the biggest wet blanket in the entire world and make everybody, like, suck the life out of everything.
I feel like that is, like, you could say the same for Mancini.
It's true.
He's such a fun, happy-go-lucky dude. Like, all them parties at his beach house when Kimberly was throwing
he's
the
gotta
frickin'
be a Gemini.
Yeah, he's gotta be. But, yeah, so he throws a wrench into the whole thing. Jane's like, get the hell out of here, Michael. And then Michael is like, he's being a boss up in here. Like, Chris gets in his face, and he's like, what the fuck are you going to do, Chris? Huh? What's up with you? And like, Chris just won't say anything. He's like, yeah, you're really ruining this, Michael.
Yeah, and he's like, guess what, Chris? I'm not a little skinny redhead that you can push around and almost rape. You hear that? Huh? Did you hear that, Jane? That he tried to rape Sydney over at Shooters?
And he
great guy.
Shit.
Oh, you're really going to marry this dude? Awesome. Great choice, Jane.
And Chris is just like, Michael, you're being disrespectful.
And then
I think Michael even says it like, what are you going to do? You going to get physical with me? Huh?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
And nothing.
And then Jane is like, you know what? Rotten hell, both of you. She storms out and Chris is like, I couldn't have said it better myself. And then he leaves too.
There's nothing there. And then, so they leave. They got a priest and they got an organ player. And Kimberly's like, hey, why don't we just seal the deal right here, Michael? And Michael at first is like, I don't know if that's such a good idea. We got this, what, that. And Kimberly's like, nah, come on.
Everything that I've been through with you, Michael, you asked me to marry you. Here's our chance. And then Michael's like, oh, what the hell? You're right. Let's do it. So they're off. And they do get married.
They tie the knot.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to happen.
And we don't even get to see it. They're just like cut away when they're like, okay, let's do it.
I wonder if that scene was even like written or if they were just like, someone just leaned over while they were shooting it and they were like, you want to just have Michael and Kimberly get married right here too? Just, why
let's
not?
Just make them do it.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah. Let's just shoot it. Yeah, and then it just somehow just made it into the show.
Now, next shot, we are back at the suite over at Caesar's Palace and as you can imagine, Chris and Jane are really upset that their wedding was ruined. And Chris asks Jane, how could you have married that psychotic jerk? And Jane is like, why didn't you stand up to him? Why didn't you do anything?
And his excuse is, that's your baggage, not mine. Like, I don't deal with, like, your past.
And it's kind of like,
bro, he was up in your face at your wedding.
And honestly,
be a fucking man.
When you're marrying somebody, their baggage is your baggage.
Yeah.
Like, you're a cohesive partnership.
If Jenny's ex-boyfriend is, like, accosting us, I'm not just going to look at Jenny and be like, hey, that's you, girl. That's before my time. No, man. So that's how Chris likes to deal with shit.
And Jane's like, you know what? You're right. Yeah, it is my baggage. We can get married another time. So they start like being lovey-dovey, kissing. And she's like, I need you so much now, Chris. I need you now.
Make love to me. And then Chris, I swear, I'd be like, you have an STD for sure. If this happened, like, with you, like, we hadn't had sex, and, like, you were,
and
like,
then you wanted to, like, lock somebody into marriage, you'd be like, no, you have to promise that you'll be with me forever.
Yeah, I'd be like, all right, well, first, I'm going to need a couple of tests, because this is getting a little strange. I don't understand why you don't want to have sex.
Yeah, so he's like, no, and then Jane is like, what is it? Why won't you make love to me?
And he said, she says, cut the sensitive crap and just take me.
So,
like, Jesus Christ,
yeah,
man.
Chris is just like, no, I'm leaving. I don't want it to be like this. And then as he's walking out the door, Jane yells out, Michael may be an ass, but at least he could do it.
Yikes.
That is real. Like, them's fighting words.
Calling him out on his manhood. So Chris, he's just like, fuck it. I'm going to go downstairs and gamble.
No, probably there was a commercial break here. Mm-hmm. Now, next scene, it's Chris entering back into the suite. It's the next day. Jane is sleeping, and he is totally, like, revved up. He's high on life. He did it! He has fistfuls of cash that he's throwing around. He jumps on the bed and he's exclaiming, I did it. I damn well did it. They love me. I'm up 10 grand, Jane. What do you think? What do you think of your man now? And he just starts kissing her.
Yep.
And she's like, slow down. Like, we should talk. And he's like, I'm done talking. And he just starts ripping off his clothes. And
this is what he likes. He wanted her, I guess he wanted her to not want him.
No,
he wanted her to say, like, no, don't, because that gets him off.
I think what gets him off is just risky behavior, where he can't get off. He can't, if it's vanilla or, like, just easy, like, normal interactions, it's got to be some kind of, like, crazy, heightened thing, like something
state of
whether it be like belittling somebody, trying to coerce someone against their will, or getting that high from gambling and winning.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of all interchangeable with him, that there's got to be some sort of like risky behavior in order for him to be sexually aroused.
Well, I think it's deeper than that, because he we've seen that he gets off on rejection. So he didn't want Jane all this time because she was so welcoming with her body. She's like, come on, take me. Let's have sex right now. I'll go to your place. She's submissive. And then he loves fucking with Sydney because Sydney's like, no, no, no. You're a creep. Get the fuck away from me. What's going on? Stop it. And then he like kisses Jane rough and she's like, stop. So he does it again. And she's like, wait, can we just slow down a little bit? And he's like, oh, hell yeah. Finally. Like, I need some. He's like, I need some no's. He needs no.
Maybe that's what it is, too. I mean, I just, in watching that scene, I was like, he just needs to engage in this, like, high stakes behavior in order to get aroused. But maybe it is the act of someone telling him no and having that challenge.
Right.
That well, could
and
be
at
it.
First, the gambling, the pit boss was like, no, you can't have 20 grand. And then he got it.
Yeah.
And then he get this.
Okay.
So I'm assuming they did it. They do it here.
I assume that too.
Yeah.
So next scene, we are back at Melrose Place in Allison's apartment. Susan is up early whipping up some food.
Just cooking a lot.
Allison is like, oh, hot. Like, what are you doing? And that's when Susan says, well, I was hoping I'd be done before you woke up. And then launches into this complete lie.
Just bullshit.
About why she's cooking.
She's cooking meals because she met up with her cooking friends. And they're all going to cook meals for people going to the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, so they put together these picnics for people. And the Hollywood Bowl is like, if you're not familiar with it, it's this really cool venue in L.A. It's all outdoors, and it's kind of like, it's like an amphitheater built into the side of a hill. And it's a huge, it's a huge stage, and it's a huge...
Yeah, they do a lot of Disney orchestras. They do a lot of, like, John Williams. He did, like, Star Wars and Jurassic Park. And they do, like, you know, rappers sometimes, Bette Midler.
So it's a really cool venue, and I believe they do allow for outside food and drinks. So it is popular for people to bring picnics and stuff. So she's saying that a couple of her culinary school buddies have put this little business plan in place where they cook for people going there, and they make these prearranged picnic baskets for them.
Who the hell would buy that from a stranger at the Hollywood Bowl?
I mean, it's not like today where you could like go online and order it. It's like, are they just kind of like stationed outside, like, get a picnic basket?
Yeah, next to the guy selling like counterfeit t-shirts of the artist.
Well, it sounds like a very entrepreneurial smart idea, and Allison's totally buying it. I mean, she has no reason not to, and she seems impressed that Susan's going out there and making some money, but then she does remind her, so I guess our whole margarita and movie night is over. Like, we're not going to be able to do that tonight. And apparently this had slipped Susan's mind that she already had plans with Allison that evening.
But she blows him off, and Allison understands and wishes Susan well at the bowl. Now, we head over to Joe, who goes and checks her mail, and she gets another letter, likely about the lawsuit, the custody battle.
Oh, my brain went to bills.
No.
Because she opens the letter and she just exclaims, why don't you leave me alone?
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, I feel the same way every time I get a bill, too.
No, it's clearly like lawyer... custody.
That makes
shit.
A lot more sense.
Says, when are they going to leave me alone? Yeah. But as she's reading this, she gets a pain in her baby tummy.
Yeah, so she like grabs her stomach and she's like, she winces and she's still walking. And then she actually lurches forward onto the stairs, like something in her stomach caused her to just go flying forward.
Yeah, and like, I know you say that the pain happened first and then she hit the stairs, but like my note here is, did the stairs cause the pain or did she get the pain and then hit the stairs?
She got the pain and then hit the stairs.
Right.
Because if you'll remember the diagnosis at the hospital.
But she's not, she's reading the paper as she's walking and she like trips.
Dan, I think that was the actor's choice in showing the audience that she had a pain in her stomach.
That makes you trip on a step.
I did not think it was plausible. I don't think she's tripped on a step. I think that that was supposed to show us that, oh, I'm having a gut-wrenching, very serious pain right now. That it's caused me to fall, which made me lurch forward. That's why I was like, rewind it. This is insane. Like, I've had labor pains and pains too. And it's like, but everybody reacts to pain differently. I'm not saying that Daphne Zuniga made a bad choice. Everyone does their own thing, but it was a little, it didn't read very clear.
Yeah, it's unclear. Like, I was like, oh, she fell on the baby.
But then at the hospital, we get the diagnosis of what it is. And if it was something that was caused a trauma due to an accident, but it wasn't.
Yeah. So she immediately goes to the hospital. Matt rolls her in, actually. What is Matt's job?
Like, what is he supposed to be working in social services? Why is he rolling in patients?
He's rolling in like ER patients. And he's social service, like special
representative.
Needs. Yeah, like bill forgiveness.
And how would he know that quickly that Joe has been admitted to the hospital?
And then he's delivering like diagnosis. Like,
really?
Yeah, he was in there, like, delivering advice to the patient. And Kimberly's like, well, for once, actually. Oh, Matt is right over
okay.
here.
Okay, so we go to the ER, but then before we go to that scene, we're with Michael and Kimberly, and they're met with Dr. Burns, who says, Kimberly, aren't you supposed to be in OR round? She says, yes. He says, get down there now. We have a situation, which is probably referring to Joe.
Yeah.
And then he says, oh, Mancini, wait a minute. Because Mancini's like, I'm going to go down there too. And Peter says, actually, Mancini, you're fired.
Clear out your locker. Your career at Wilshire Memorial is over.
And, of course, Michael is blindsided. And he's like, wait, excuse me? And he's like, Michael, you were on call the last 2 days. And you did not leave a forwarding number. We were short-staffed. We have been trying to reach you for the past 2 days to no avail. And you're done. You cannot do that.
Mm.
And I mean, it's kind of like, that's merited.
Yeah, and then he tries to get Kimberly fired here. He's like, well, Kimberly did it too.
Yeah, it's like, shut up. And then that's when Peter's like, yeah, well, Kimberly had the last 2 days off, so she's not in trouble. Like, she wasn't working. She wasn't on call. You're done.
And he's just like, for fuck's sake. Now, Joe is talking to Matt downstairs, like in a hospital room, about how she's sad about her baby and all, and like Reed's parents. And I'm like, finally, Matt gets some lines.
Yeah, but they're nothing of value or substance. It's like, you're going to be fine. Your baby's great. You just need to concentrate on remaining physically well.
Yeah.
And that's when Kimberly says, yes, Joe, for once, Matt is correct. You do need to do that because it turns out you're developing an ulcer. And that was the reason that she was acting like that. That was the pain that she was experiencing.
And she asked Kimberly, like, Kimberly's being real nice and all this. And Joe's like, why are you being so nice? And I wrote, well, because she's a freaking doctor. That's why.
And it's her job. And even though she could be like being fake nice to you, but Kimberly reacts by saying, I can't stand to see a friend in distress, especially one who's going to be a mother.
And what? Like, has Kimberly and Joe ever had a run-in?
No, but I think Kimberly knows. I mean, Joe knows about Kimberly's
antics.
Yeah. But then I will say that when Kimberly says, especially one that's going to be a mother, there was like a dark tone to that. Like, what does that mean?
Maybe she wants to be a mother. Now let's go to the Hollywood Bowl. We're at this horrible double date.
And we learn that the dinners that Susan was preparing that morning were not for other audience members, but they were for herself and the three other people on the date, which would be Billy, Amanda, and Peter.
Yeah, and Susan's got some serious guilt about it that Billy tries to talk her out of. And then Amanda, she and Peter are sitting in front of Billy and Jane. Not Billy and Jane, Billy and Susan. And she couldn't help but to overhear their talk about Allison. And she wants Susan to just watch her back, because Allison only cares about herself and she ruined a relationship of hers.
Yeah, she's like, Allison can be a great friend, but she's always out for number one. She single-handedly destroyed a relationship of mine.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up.
Then Amanda starts talking with Peter, and Peter says the most fucking narcissistic shit I've ever heard.
Because he is a pretty big narcissist.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just going over my entire day in my head to see if I made any mistakes.
Or if I could do anything better.
It's like, oh, fuck off.
And then Amanda, of course, thinks that this is great. She's like, oh, a perfectionist. I love that. What are you thinking when you see the day in Rewind? And he's like, well, there is one thing that I'm pretty happy about. I did fire a resident, Dr. Mancini, today. He had it coming.
Yeah.
And then that causes Billy to overhear the conversation. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. You're saying Dr. Mancini as in Michael Mancini?
This whole date is basically just eavesdropping. Yeah. Like, that's all they're doing. And then, like, so the music plays, and then Billy does something that really pissed me off. Like, the music starts, Peter and Amanda, they get close, and then Billy's looking at his program and feels the need to show Susan, like, what is playing on the program. And it's like, Billy, of course it's the first fucking song, man. Like, you don't have to point to it on the program. The show just started. Like, of course, we know. She knows. I don't know. It pissed me off.
Well, we then cut to the end of the date where both couples are going back to Melrose Place. We learn that Peter has a very early day. He's a gentleman and leaves Amanda with a kiss and goes on. But then that leaves Susan and Billy to say their goodbyes. And they're making the choice to do this right in front of Allison's apartment.
Yeah, not very smart if you're trying to keep it a secret, guys.
What is wrong with you guys?
And Amanda's all just like, I'll decide when it's loud right here. So I own the building.
They're going home. They're being loud. It's late. And that may have been what caused Allison to go over to her window to see what all the commotion was about.
And Allison's kind of being a little creepy here, too. Well, or it's just like, you feel like terrible for her, and you also feel like, ugh.
So, Billy and Susan are having this like playful little back and forth where he's like, thank you for coming. No, Billy, thank you for inviting me. No, Susan, thank you for coming. No, thank you. No, thank you. And this goes on for way too long, and it's like, shut up. And then they just start kissing. Now, we cut over to the window where the camera kind of peers inside. We get a close-up between the blinds, and then we see a set of eyes staring back.
And there's no light, just a silhouette of Allison dying inside.
And you see her watery, teary eyes looking back out in disbelief. And she doesn't make a sound. She just watches in sheer terror and shock to see her best friend and new roommate making out with her ex-fiance when this girl was supposed to be doing her own business and being entrepreneurial at the Hollywood Bowl.
And Billy, watch this scene again. Watch them make out. Billy has no idea what to do with his hands when he makes out. He's just like, it's very weird. So it's the next day. Susan's making I'm sorry eggs. Huevos rancheros. And she's trying to play it cool. She's like, good morning, sleepyhead.
I really felt bad about missing our little date last night with the margaritas and movie. So I decided to play on the theme and made you the huevos rancheros today.
Wouldn't you just go outside while they were making out?
You know, I think I want to believe that I would react that way, but I've got to tell you, I've never been in that situation. I don't know what I would do.
I would just walk out and check the mail. Or I would just walk out and, like, walk by them and let them, like, show them that I know.
I just, you know, I don't know if I would insert myself into that situation, but I feel like I couldn't just go back in my room. Like, I think
how could you sleep on that?
I think I would have to, like, confront my friend when she walked in.
Yeah. Tell us what you think, what you would do in this situation. I would definitely, I think I would open the door and be like, what's up? It'd just
what
be real.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah, be super passive aggressive like that. Oh, hey guys, I was just going to jump in the pool.
I know you would take that. I don't know. I think that I would probably just burst into tears and just start screaming and crying.
Or I'd go out there and I'd be like, I'd be like, hey, Susan, why don't you get a hotel tonight? Don't even think about fucking coming in here. No way you're sleeping in my apartment.
Yeah.
You know?
There's so much betrayal there. So it's the next day. Susan, like you said, is trying to play it very cool. And Allison is doing a really good job, too, at playing it cool. And she keeps asking, how was your night last night? How did it go? And that's when Susan continues to elaborate on this lie. Oh, it was great. Everybody, it was such a big hit. I feel like I'm really getting a foothold in this little business idea. And she's like, look, I have your coffee. Here are your eggs. And Allison is, of course, disappointed that she gave her friend another opportunity to tell the truth. I mean, there are so many things that could have happened.
All Susan had to say was, I was doing all of that, and then I saw Billy. And we went, we hung out. And then we met up with Allison, Amanda, and Peter.
Yeah, she could have said that, but she chose to leave all of that out. Allison is like, thanks so much for breakfast, but I'm really not that hungry. I think I'm going to go for a walk and let out some energy.
Weird.
Okay, so she leaves. She leaves the apartment.
Even at that point, wouldn't you just be like, hey, Susan, you don't have to do this. I know.
Or Susan being like, okay, what's going on? Why are you being weird? And then just say, did you see, like, I don't know. I feel like there are, like, both of them could have opportunities where they could just be upfront with each other about what really happened.
Yeah.
But Allison leaves, and honestly, it's not Allison's job to confront her about this. Like, if Susan was a good friend, she wouldn't have done it in the first place. But if something, God forbid, weird happened, she should have just told her right then and there, but she didn't.
Yeah. So now we go to the beach house, Michael and Kimberly's. And Michael is just sitting with his hands in his thighs. Just like sad as hell that he got fired.
And he's sitting on the beach looking out into the ocean. Kimberly comes up behind him and asks, have you been here all night? And he's like, I don't know. Well, Michael, was it dark when you sat down? Because it's the next day.
Not sure. Yeah. Just don't know if
he
I've been out here.
He is so out of sorts. He is so upset.
Is this the only hospital you can work at?
Yeah, and he's like, what am I going to do? Who am I going to call? I couldn't breathe. And that's when Kimberly's like, look, there are other hospitals. It's okay. You'll get a job somewhere else. And Michael's like, oh, no. Burns is calling the California. He's going to call the medical board. I'm done. This is it. I'm not a doctor anymore.
Then Kimberly says, but you know what, Michael? We're married and we have each other. And Michael says, who cares?
He says, who cares? And I thought he said, I'm married to nothing. But you think he said, you're married to nothing.
Yeah, I think he's just like, you're married to nothing. It doesn't matter. This marriage is nothing because I'm nothing.
Yeah, so of course, I mean, this is very tough for the new bride, Kimberly, to hear. I mean, they got married, what, yesterday?
Yeah.
And this is what your new husband is telling you? He does not care that you're married?
This is Michael's third marriage in 3 seasons.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So we leave them on the beach, and then we pick it up with Allison at Shooters getting ripped off screwdrivers.
Now, that's when Susan walks in and she's like, you know, when you said you were going to go for a walk, I wanted to give you your space. But when you didn't come back for several hours, I felt like I needed to come looking for you. And I will give this to Courtney Thorne Smith. She does a really great job playing like drunk.
Drinky.
She's really good at it.
Yeah, she's like, have a drink.
And maybe then, it'll help you see things more clearly.
And Susan's like, it's a little early for me. Oh, is it? Oh, great.
And then she's like, well, you know, I'm here because my friend Jake, he owns this place, but what do you care? I mean, you don't know him. But anyway, he's a friend. Do you know what that is? Oh, I don't think you do. A friend is someone who doesn't try to sleep with your fiance the moment that he moves out.
And Susan, like, tries to talk and...
Susan tries to gets defensive and she's like, Allison, it was just a date. It was just a date? What?
Bitch.
Like, that is insane.
You should get fought up. You're lucky Allison didn't put the paws on you right there. Like, that's fucked up. That's just fucked up. So she says, Susan, why don't you just get out of here? I want you out.
And while you're at it, find a new place to live.
Bye, bitch.
Yeah. So Susan leaves with her tail between her legs. And I'm like, great for you, Allison, for standing up to her in the way that you did.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think Allison has
totally in the
every right.
100%. So Chris and Jane, they return to Melrose Place. And Chris is like, this will be the first of many trips. It's like, what?
Okay.
All right.
And as he's leaving Jane's apartment, Jake meets him out in the courtyard by the pool.
Well, he supermans him. Like, he wasn't there at first. And then Chris, like, kisses Jane, turns around, and Jake is there.
He's waiting.
Dress shirt and wife beater, ready to fuck shit up.
And he says immediately, I know who you really are.
And he says, Shooters is my place, and Sydney works for me. And then Jake beats the shit out of Chris.
Yeah, throws him in the pool.
Punches him in the pool. Sydney runs downstairs and sees this, and she is like hot and bothered.
Smitten.
Yeah.
Here is this dashing guy standing up for her honor. When is the last time anybody wanted to stand up for Sydney?
Yeah.
And be on Sydney's side.
And Sydney is like, thanks for doing that for me, Jake.
So yeah, first, so Chris is in the pool. Things don't go well. Jane is like, I'm calling the cops. Then Jake and Sydney go back into Jake's apartment. And that's when Sydney's like, Jake, I saw what you did out there for me. Thank you so much. And Sydney starts doing what she knows how to do to repay somebody.
But first, Jake says, I didn't do it for you. I just did what was right. That's a fucking superhero line. Super Jake is back.
Yeah, he's back. So Sydney just starts trying to make the moves. And he's like, I don't think we should do this. And Sydney's like, I do.
Yes, she says, yes, we should.
And then, hey, they do. They start going at it.
Time for some shadow kisses.
Yeah, what is up with that? So, like, they're making out, and then, like, we pan over to the wall, and we just see their shadows kissing, and it's like, whoa.
Shadow kisses.
And that's the end of the episode.
End of the ep. Let's recap this mofo.
Michael and Kimberly crash Jane and Chris's wedding.
Jake takes in Sydney so she can sleep off the attempted rape.
Michael and Kimberly get married.
Amanda, Peter, Billy, Susan. Double date for the ages.
Michael gets fired from Wilshire Memorial Hospital.
Joe has a pregnancy complication.
Allison sees Billy and Susan kissing and kicks Susan out. And Jake punches out Chris and makes out with Sydney. 90s moments, what you got?
Caesar's Palace, the whole entire thing. It's all 90s.
Yeah, they went through a really amazing renovation. But yeah, I'd have to agree, it's very dated looking.
Yeah.
Including the cherub.
Yeah.
I think the coffee cup designs for when Jake pours Sydney those coffees, it's like this very 90s iconic pattern where it's got like kind of like flowers that are, looks like they're drawn in crayon and they're like primary colors. I feel like I've seen that pattern so many times before. So that really stood out to me.
Joe having to remind Amanda that you can't discriminate against pregnant people.
Very true. Susan's white tights. Who the hell wears white tights?
Ballerinas.
If you're under 5 years old, if you're over 5 years old, white tights just shouldn't be an option for you.
Yeah. Chris Marchette at the gambling table, he has to like sign up for 20 grand on like a clipboard. I feel like there's a more like proper procedure in place these days when you get a line of credit at a casino, other than like a clipboard and a carbon copy slip.
Sure. I've got Jane and Chris's wedding music being played on a cassette tape.
Yep. Huh. Oh yeah. That's all I got.
Jane's claw clip. Seeing a lot of those hair accessories.
Okay. Cool.
So Dan, what lesson did you learn from this episode?
My lesson this week is do not mix family and business. Chris and Jane, y'all are business partners. You don't need to be mixing it up, getting married. And then Michael and Kimberly, they work at the same place and they're getting married. It's just too like risky. And then Jake and Sydney, they now work together. It's just all a mess. You know, it gets so out of hand when you work with someone that is also a friend, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband, a wife. It's tough out there. It's hard. So don't mix up fam and business. Jenny?
I've learned that if a couple goes to Las Vegas, it ends in marriage. This whole episode is like, well, they went to Vegas, so they're getting married.
Yeah.
And then Michael and Kimberly go to Vegas and end up married.
Yep.
So Vegas equals married. Now it's time for
Bitch of the Week!
I'm a boss ass bitch, 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 bitch. I'm a boss ass bitch.
Last week, guys, I nominated that slimy bitch of a restaurant owner, Mr. McDermott, and Jenny nominated Billy. Now, Facebook, we've got a total of 3 to 15, and Twitter, 2 to 6. All in favor of Billy being the bitch of the week.
Woo!
Jenny, you win.
Oh, thank you.
Landslide. I thought you would have this one.
Well, what can I say? Billy is always a bitch, and he was a standout bitch last week.
A true bitch of a man.
Now let's see what our friends have had to say about this. Donald says, well, Dan, I'm glad that you're happy with my pick last week, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to go with Jenny's pick this week because I absolutely hated Billy in this episode. I was hoping you would pick him, Dan. I thought you would, but you didn't. Billy was subtle as a freaking tidal wave in this episode. I mean, Susan is Allison's friend. Everyone knows that you don't date your ex-fiance's friend. It's just a big no-no, and he was just a huge jackass in this episode. The way that he was flirting with her was so cringeworthy. Honorable mention to Chris because he's so freaking creepy, but Billy annoyed me more than Chris this episode. And also, what happened to Elizabeth? Like, are her and Billy over now that she's not working at the office? And besides him and the actress who plays Susan, don't seem to have any chemistry.
Huh.
You're spot on, Donald. I mean, we talked a little bit about Elizabeth this episode as well. What happened to her?
Yeah, where the hell did she go? Zach says, this is really tough. I'm undecided. I might just say everyone who is involved in this storyline is a bitch since it sucks. I have to ask, though, do you guys have some sort of treaty where neither of you can pick Chris, since he is basically going to be the bitch of the week by a landslide vote every episode he appears in from here on out? And I say to this, Zach, I don't nominate Chris because I'm reminded of when I nominated Ted Ramsey, the peeper. All of y'all told me, no, Ted's not a bitch, he's a creep. And that's where I am at with Chris Marchette. He's just as creepy and slimy as Ted. And the second I nominate him, someone's going to tell me, he's not being a bitch. He's really just a creeper.
Who cares what other people say? I think you've got to go.
I want to win. I want the vote.
No, I think you got to go with who you think stood out to you as being a bitch. And I feel like Chris is just a slimy, horrible person. That's just the nature of who he is. And I mean, the stuff he's been doing is totally bitchy and horrible. But I feel like...
Well, the last time I nominated a sexual predator, everyone was like, no, that's not being a bitch.
I didn't say that.
So I'm not. I don't think he's a bitch.
Well,
I think he's a sexual
predator. We'll see for future episodes where we put Chris. But for now, Kevin says, it's Billy. Although I did laugh pretty hard when Dan announced his pick. I just have to go with Billy. Two reasons. Number one, the whole Susan thing. Come on, you don't go after your ex's good friend. And number two, he totally left his soccer team hanging. That's what we thought too, Kevin.
Stephanie said, I'll go with McDermott because you don't just bring a potential employee out for a job without the business being locked in first. That's what I'm saying. Get all your ducks in a row, open the business, and hire after. Not when there's a chance that investors can back out. I didn't go with Billy because Allison's head games were really getting old at this point, and he shouldn't be sitting on a shelf for her. Like, how dare he be attracted to someone else?
Viv agrees with me. Well, Billy, of course, she says, coming for his ex-fiance's college friend. Very bitchy, Billy. Plus another excuse to vote for him. Thank you, Viv.
Charles says, while the action of both nominees are worthy of the title of Bitch of the Week, I have to say that Billy's actions take the cake. He's playing with the emotions of two women to service his own ego, and that could have much more of a far-reached consequence than what McDermott did. Even though that was a pretty bitchy thing to do, what McDermott did is a random story. You tell a friend over drinks and laugh at the absurdity of it, while what Billy did could potentially lead to several therapy sessions and, in the case of Allison, an alcohol bender. So all that to say, I voted for Billy.
Yay! Graham also voted for Billy. If I could vote for Billy 100 times in this poll, I would. He is so completely atrocious in this episode. Listen, I know this is Melrose Place universe where the normal rules of friendship or dating, or let's face it, anything, just don't apply. However, he knows full well that he is crossing a huge line by putting the moves on Susan. And to begin with, at least, it's so obvious that it's actually making Susan feel uncomfortable. And yet he just keeps on going. And worse, he's constantly trying to manipulate his situation and justify his actions as innocent when they are far from it. No wonder Allison has started downing vodka martinis at 10 a.m. Totally agreed, Graham.
Well, you all have spoken. Billy is a bitch. Now, Jenny, who you got this week?
Well, Dan, I think I have to go with the other side of the coin in this insane little coupling of Billy and Susan. Susan is the landslide bitch for me this week. Okay, last week I gave it to Billy because he kept pursuing Susan, and Susan had enough sense to try to fend him off and say, no, this is wrong. But this episode, she gives in. Come on, Susan. Freaking girl code. This is your friend from years ago. You were college roommates. Now, she's totally giving you a place to live. She's providing you shelter. She's probably not making you pay any rent. And this is how you repay her? For real? Okay, the second one of my good college girlfriends' ex-fiance starts hitting on me, the first thing I do is go to her and say, Allison, you know your fiance Billy? He like is trying to ask me out on dates. Like, that's the first thing you do. For her to sneak around and go behind her back and try to like play into this fantasy that it's not going to hurt Allison if she doesn't know. Of course she's going to know. And you're going to know, Susan. You're going to know. What kind of a friend does that? That is the bitchiest thing you ever do. And then Allison gave you an opportunity to fess up. You could have at breakfast just said, Allison, I have to tell you something. Things got heated up with Billy and I last night, and I kissed him. You could have just said it there, but you chose to continue to lie. How long was this going to go on with you living in Allison's place, presumably rent-free, while you're just dating her fiance? Horrible. Susan, you're a bitch.
Ouch. She's just a guest star. Jeez. All right.
Dan, what do you think?
My bitch of the week, and it's for you guys. You've asked for it. It's Chris Marchette.
Ooh!
All right. Chris, my man. One, how dare you, take Jane to Caesar's Palace, of all places, take her shopping, and then bring her into that nasty room with fucking little angel boys holding up candles and terrible wallpaper. And then you give her some bullshit proposal on standing up? That's a bitchy ass thing to do, man. You be a man, you get on one knee, and you propose like the rest of us. You know, you show your devotion. And then she's like, oh my God, Chris, I love you. Yes, emphatically, have sex with me. And you're like, nah, I'm good. I want to wait. What? When Jane Mancini Andrews says, take me, you take her. You do it. You do the deed, you little bitch. Why are you acting like that, man? Then your ass is 50 grand in the hole to a casino. Bro, you have a problem. You have a crutch and you have an addiction. That's also kind of bitchy. Why are you such a bitch where you got to get your kicks off gambling? Come on, man. Stop being a little bitch. Then my homeboy, Jake, kicked your ass up and down the Melrose Place courtyard and punched you in over a chair and into the pool. Fucking head first. It looked like a cartoon, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. He bitched you, bro. You're a bitch. You suck. You only get erections when you win money. And then you only want to bang Jane when she tells you no. Not only are you a bitch, but you got some serious sexual mommy issues. Something's up. You have a bitchy accent. You're a sexual predator. You are disgusting. You have a bitchy accent.
That's twice.
And I hate you. I absolutely hate your guts. How dare you think that you could be with Jane when you're such a little dumb bitch? Then, oh yeah, let's talk about your wedding, you cheapskate. You cheapskate little bitch. You took her to frickin', where was that?
Silver Bell's wedding chapel.
You know whose wedding was better than that? Goddamn Beetlejuice's. Remember that one? And their priest was like a dead, like, sculpture person. Remember, he was like, Lydia, will you marry?
Like, Lydia's red dress?
Yeah. And, like, freaking Gina Davis's skull's falling out of her mouth.
I thought you were going to say Sydney and Michael's wedding was better than that.
Oh, my God. It's 10 times better.
Because it was, and zero people were there.
Matt and Katya's wedding was better than this. This was a sham. You had freaking that, I don't know what kind of mutant that was playing the organ.
She just played a cassette tape.
Yeah, she just played a cassette tape. And then your priest looked like a freaking another sexual predator. Might have been your little sidekick when you were running game on those Lifetime of hookers. But that was the bitchiest wedding I could ever imagine and cook up in my brain. That's terrible. What'd you spend? What'd you spend? Like $100? Is that what that ran you? And you have 20 grand in credit? Come on, man. You're being a bitch, bruh.
Well, guys, as you know, the verdict is up to you. Take to Facebook, take to Twitter. Tell us what you think. Who was the bitch? Vote and give us your feedback.
Chris or Susan?
So, Dan, this episode was entitled Love Reeks.
Sure does.
Don't really get the reference, but okay.
Love stinks.
Yeah, but I don't even know how it ties into...
Love stinks! Yeah, yeah. Wedding singer.
Yeah, well, that was after this.
True.
Okay, so what are you going to rename this episode?
I'm renaming this one... No joke, kangaroo boy.
Lifted it right out of the episode.
Oh, love that. Love it. Why? Just because. It's all about Chris being a little dumb kangaroo boy.
Good work.
You?
Mine is To Hell in a Picnic Basket.
Ooh. Well done.
Thank you.
I get it. Predictions next week. What's happening?
Okay, Chris is an undercover crazy gambler who will lose his share of the business in a high-stakes poker game. Jane will thank Michael for ruining the would-be wedding to Chris. This, and I think that that the whole event with Susan and Billy is going to send Allison into an alcoholic downward spiral. I think that Susan's going to move in with Billy now that she's kicked out of Allison's place. And things are going to heat up with Peter and Amanda. Things are going to heat up with Sydney and Jake. Joe's going to deliver that baby soon. And I think they're still going to be having Matt do like clerical stuff at the hospital where he like just plays a support role. I mean, it's just laughable. It's like poor Matt has no purpose. But they don't know what to do with his character.
He has nothing to do.
It's really sad. I feel bad for Doug Savant at this point in his life.
Hey, at least his days are quick. They just shoot one scene and he's off.
Well, Doug, you only have 1.5 lines. So we're only going to need you for 10 minutes.
It's like, well, okay. Sounds good.
Dan, what do you think?
Susan's going to move in with Billy. Amanda's going to get pissed at Sydney for hooking up with Jake. And Allison, of course, is going to become the booze hound we've heard so much about. I think that Kimberly is going to deliver Joe's baby and take it.
Oh!
That would be cool.
I love that. The whole like thing where she's like, especially one who's going to be a mother.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like someone takes it. It's either Reed's parents or Kimberly.
I like that idea.
Now that we have that little story to play with, let's see here. I think that Peter and Amanda aren't going to work out.
What?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to get better first. I think there'll be some sort of falling out. I think that Michael might now go all in on Mancini Designs and be like, I work here now.
Oh, that's a great prediction.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think he'll just be like, this is like my job because I don't have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be it for me.
Good stuff.
I think that's it for me.
Well, guys, as usual, we couldn't do this without you. Thank you so much for your love and support. We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We encourage you and invite you to share your thoughts. Of course, our private Facebook group is the best place to connect with other Melrose Place lovers like yourself.
Yeah, and thanks for all the birthday love, man. Thanks for the stripper. You guys.
Oh, was that awesome. From Charles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They sent me in the group, they sent me a compilation of Sydney's stripper scenes and said that they chipped in and got me a stripper.
So lots of fun things happening there. Of course, if you want some exclusive content, including videos and quickie episodes that we do about characters that have long passed and are no longer on the show, you can sign up for as little as $1 per month to unlock that content on Patreon.com.
Yeah, Patreon.com/MelrosePod.
So sign up, be part of that, become one of our patrons, and get that exclusive content.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I want to tell you about a really cool podcast called Tree Hill Talk. The premise of the show is that three friends watch One Tree Hill. Ingrid is the veteran. Liz and Michelle are the newbies. And each week, they watch and discuss an episode of Tree Hill Talk, of One Tree Hill, a lot like us at Melrose Pod. And you can listen on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher. Go to treehilltalk.com for more info. And you can follow them on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Tree Hill Talk. We love you, girls.
And these gals are so funny.
Yeah, man.
So if you want to hear some funny stuff about One Tree Hill, if you're a fan, that's the best place to get it. I just watched the first episode of One Tree Hill.
Did you? Are you into it?
I am curious.
I mean, that's the thing. That's what's so fun. It's like
crazy.
If you dig the rewatch podcast
format, you don't need to watch the show.
Sometimes shows. You don't even need to watch the show, man. You just like the people that talk. And they also do another podcast called It Takes Three, where they just shoot the shit. So check that one out, too.
Cool, guys. Well, as usual, we love smut.
And we love you.